Wow.
Amen.
Amen. That was so beautiful. So true. So encouraging. Worshiping God through giving, through singing, and now through sitting under an ordained pastor who is called to bring the word of God. And I'm going to read Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of rage, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
I want us to see what is a Christian. What is a follower of Jesus Christ?
Oh. I would like to use as a subject from which to preach this morning, remaining awake through a great revolution.
I'm not asking you tonight if you one night kneel down and make confession, and after that your life was no change, your lifestyle was no different, your appetites were no different, your prayer life was no different. Come on.
Amen. Hopefully after 10 weeks of the Sparking, the series, the Flames Revival series, you know what Leonard Ravenhill was actually saying there at the end with his accent, and we're going to get to hear some of those accents at the Pray Across the Pond event. Pastor Joe preaching next week. Super excited for that. So excited to have him back up in the pulpit. That's going to be great. And also, as we kind of take this month, there is a ton of content online. If this entire series is 10 series, if you haven't caught them all, also the Holy Spirit workshop, all of Elliot's teaching. There is enough resource for you to go through and really be fed for this entire month. It's been great. And then we also had the Sermon on the Mount series and some other things that have gone on. So check those out. Let me just pray as we move into the final episode of Sparking the Flames of Revival. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace and how you love us. Let the Word of God come alive. And Jesus, we want to bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are free, you don't need to prove it. Anyone who is free does not need to prove that they're free. Truly free people live with such a sense of freedom, they rarely even think about freedom because they are living from a place of freedom. This last week, I had an opportunity to explore freedom and what it means to truly live in freedom and what it means to not. And just to let you know, I have not had the flu for about 15 years. I worked at a 5,000-person church. I am not, a germaphobe, but I've done a ton to make sure that I haven't gotten the flu, and I haven't had it for 15 years. I get a vaccine every year. I use hand sanitizer when I would shake hands at my church, even doing flu season. I did all these things. I didn't touch doorknobs. When I go get gas, I always have a little thing that I use to get the gas. It's just something I've done, and it's not that I'm a germaphobe. I just don't want to be sick. You know, I just don't want to be sick because I got things to do. I got surfing to do and all types of things. So I was at the gas station this last week or a couple weeks ago. And I went to I was getting frustrated. Everywhere I went, people were telling me what to do. Do this, don't do this, don't do that, do that. And it was frustrating me, even though the majority of things that I was being told to do were things that I already did. But it was still frustrating me, and something was welling up inside of me. This libertarian freedom was riling in front of me. It was beginning to burn hot in my soul, and it was telling me, don't follow that rule, even though it's a rule that I already followed. And so I pulled up to the gas station, and there's that janky, dirty gas handle. I mean, there's a few things. I feel safer in a restroom than I do touching that thing. I don't know why. There's just something, depends on the restroom, actually. There's just something about it. And so I walk up to it and I think to myself, I'm just going to grab it. Now, this is not something that I really haven't done for like 15 years. But something inside of me was like, no, prove you're free. You're a free person. You live with Christ. Grab that gas handle. And so I grabbed it. And I thought, what are you doing? Why are you changing what you do to prove you're free if you're free? And it's something you agree with. I don't like janky, gross gas handles. Paul talks about this in this passage, not so much the gas handle. But Paul begins to speak about freedom. He begins to speak about freedom and seeing freedom as the highest octane fuel that God gives you to live according to. A free people cannot be stopped. A free people live free from bondages and yokes of slavery, yokes of the works, or yokes of having to live according to the flesh and prove your freedom. I believe in the moment, in my gas nozzle moment, in that moment, I was rebelling in a way, and I was living according to the flesh. I wasn't living according to the freedom that I have, because I was living according to the Spirit. I love myself, and I don't like getting sick, whether it's 2002 or whether it's 2020, and I was not loving myself or living according to the Spirit of loving myself. The reason I do those things is because I love myself, and I want to do the things that are right. Now, Paul talks about this in this conversation about circumcision, but there's a much bigger lesson here for us than just the Jewish discussion on circumcision. Circumcision was this thing that was given by the law that God gave as a symbol of a future promise and of a covenant. And if you were circumcised, it showed that you belong to God. After Jesus died on the cross, we are now, as Abraham understood, but we are now freed from those things of the law, that we can live in freedom and we no longer have to have those symbols. You're free from it. But this was a massive change for the people of God and the Jewish people. This was a massive change. And so there was this back and forth as the church began to settle in to new rules, new regulations, and life according to the Spirit, not life according to the law. Now, Paul, if you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do, we're going to be looking at a few passages within this chapter 5. Some of it is on your notes, but it was a lot of passage, so I didn't put it all on your notes. And you can find it. But the first thing that I put in the notes is this. Freedom is one of the most underestimated weapons of spiritual warfare. Freedom. The devil does not want you to be free. In the beginning of this passage, in verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." Now, I've mentioned this many, many times. There are people who are set free, and then they go live in bondage to a whole bunch of other things. Just because you're out of jail doesn't mean that you are free. Freedom is a spirit that comes from the Spirit, and it allows you to be freed from two things, as we'll see in a moment. One is indulging the flesh. Freedom, true freedom, living in the freedom that the Spirit gives will not indulge the flesh. Because when you indulge the flesh, it becomes a law. You become a slave to your flesh, and you're no longer free. But there is also another type of freedom that was going on in Paul's time and goes on today. Besides indulging the flesh, which will make you a slave, is another one of self-justification. That you start doing things to prove you're good before God. You start doing things to live according to the law. And you build a self-justification. You build a righteousness based on the things that you do. Paul says that there is a shadowlands. It's actually not a shadowlands. It's where the brightest truth of God dwells. But a shadowlands between living according to the flesh or living according to the law, which is self-righteousness. And he says there's this beautiful place in the middle called living according to the Spirit. When you live according to the Spirit, you're not gratifying the deeds of the flesh, and you're also not living according to this law. Let's look at this passage real quick. Let's go to verse 1 quickly. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So he set you free on the cross, so now that you can live in freedom, you don't have to live according to those old things. And then it says, stand firm. Now, where have we seen that before? Stand firm. We've seen that in Ephesians. Remember, we spoke about the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul says in that same passage in Ephesians 6, that when you've done everything to stand, what does he say? Stand firm. So You have to be able to make a parallel. Paul was building a bridge between Ephesians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5. And one of the things that he's using is he used war metaphor when he talked about the gifts of the Spirit. He talked about battle. He talked about the armor of God and then these gifts of the Spirit, which are elaborated on in Corinthians 12 and 13. And he elaborates on these. But then he uses that same stand firm. Remember, when you've done everything to stand, you're all ready for battle. Then he says, stand firm. Well, he brings it back up in Ephesians, in Galatians chapter 5. Now, why does he bring it up? Well, he brings it up because he understands that the fruit of the Spirit is just as much a weapon of warfare, and these fruits of the Spirit will lead to freedom, that is much of a weapon as the gifts of the Spirit. We tend to weaponize the gifts of the Spirit. We tend to see the gifts of the Spirit, you know, these different gifts, administration, the teaching of the word, prophecy. We tend to see these more like the kung fu gifts. You know what I'm saying? These are the ones that you use to go change the world, you know, and these, you know, you're doing all that, you know, kung fu fighting. And we see those. But then when we talk about fruit, we're so nice, right? Fruit is so nice. You get a fruit basket, and I've started giving fruit baskets at Thanksgiving. It's a really cool British thing to do, and I just a basket of beautiful fruit. Living in California, it's not that big of a deal because we have fruit all the season, and they have airplanes that can ship it from anywhere in the world. Nonetheless, we see this fruit. I don't even know what my picadillos of Thanksgiving are and Christmas, but we see fruit as this really nice thing. Love, joy, peace, hope. It's so nice. Actually, Paul is using the standing metaphor to show that fruit is just as much of a weapon. But he uses it as fruit, and then the reason it's just as much of a weapon, or perhaps more, because the fruit of the Spirit, if you can live in it, fruit of the Spirit means you're living in the Spirit. So the tree, imagine the Spirit like a tree, and the fruit is the production that you are living in that place. So you're only going to have fruit if you're living in the Spirit. Says the, you know, you'll know the root by the fruit, and the Spirit of God is the root. But Paul says that these gifts of the Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit are eternal. These will be in heaven with you. The gifts of the Spirit will not be in heaven. There will be no tongues in heaven. There will be no gifts of administration in heaven. I don't think that the Spirit of God needs you to organize his office for him. All of these things will pass away. So which gifts are actually more powerful? Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13, that the fruit of the Spirit are actually more powerful because they're eternal. Well, we have a lot of people that are operating in their gifts, but they're not living according to the fruit of the Spirit. We want to be a church that lives according to the Spirit, and are free from the law, so that we can just love and live according to the fruit of the Spirit. If I could have a church filled with the fruit of the Spirit, or a church filled with the gifts of the Spirit, I'd ultimately like to have both, but if I had to choose one, give me the fruit. Because you can have a lot of things being produced that are not done in love. I've said all the time, you can accomplish all of your goals and exceed them and violate all your values. And you can also live according to your values and never reach one of your goals and have a life of value and purpose. You see, values are more important than goals. And fruit, I won't say it's more important, but it is more eternal than the gifts of the Spirit. So he's weaponizing it here. Stand firm. Do you see, when you have peace in your life, that it's a weapon to change lives? Do you see that when you have joy in your life, when no one else is happy? I was at Costco yesterday. There was actually a fair amount of people that were somewhat joyful. But there was a lot of people. When you get to those intersections over by the produce, in that little cold room, gotta tell you, Spirit was not flowing, the fruit of the Spirit. There was fruit there, but not the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if I'm living according, now listen to this, because we're going to get into this. This is a little analogy. I'm going to put you at Costco. Imagine yourself at Costco right now. If you are living according to the Spirit, that when you get to the corner in Costco and three people go in front of you, and this one gentleman thought that he would just rush behind this lady, even though it was my turn to go. If I'm living according to the law, then I think to myself, well, you know, that was not nice. You should have let me go because it was actually my turn and I know it was my turn. Or, hey, only 15 items allowed in this line, lady. I want you to know, okay? I counted, you got 17. You're living according to the law. You know who that's going to make miserable? You. Or you can live according to the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, where the lady has 27 items in the 15 item line. And I think, you know what? Maybe she needs to get home quicker today because she's got a sick child and I just want to love her. As a matter of fact, there's a lady behind me. I'm going to let her go in front of me and I'm just going to let it flow because I don't care because I'm not here to count how many items you have in your thing. This is living according. This is freedom. This is living according to freedom, not living according to the law. And so we see that in verse 1. And he says, do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That's going to make you a slave. That's one thing that he's talking about, living according to the law or living according to the fruit of the Spirit. If you live according to the fruit of the Spirit, then all of a sudden you'll be free from the law. You'll be you'll be less upset, less worried. I was talking to a friend of mine out today. They said, I stopped reading the news, stopped watching social media, all the stuff that was going on. I'm so much happier than I was before. Because the news is meant to bring chaos into your life. I was watching the Bob Ross channel this week. And just bringing myself, you know, some of that peace, that PBS peace that you can get from Bob Ross painting. And he said, you know, in our little world, this is a happy tree. Maybe you've seen him. I don't know if you watch Bob Ross. This is a happy tree. It's a happy mountain. There's no chaos in our world. It's a beautiful place. If you want chaos, watch the news. I was like, Bob, this is 1978 when you said that, and it's true today. Be free from a yoke of slavery. You will know if you have a yoke of slavery. You will have fear, worry, pride, lust, all that. You will feel it. There is a physical feeling. God created us for our spirit to also reflect how our body lives. You will be healthier if you live according to the Spirit. If you laugh more, the Bible says you'll be healthier. Studies say that, living according to the Spirit. The Spirit is above the law because the Spirit wrote the law. Do not live under the law, because it says in this passage, you are free from the law. Let's keep moving. Fruits of war, I said that. Similar to Ephesians 6, Galatians 5 speaks to standing in battle and weaponizing the fruit of the Spirit. Talked about two types of bondage. The first, self-justification. In Galatians 5, Paul seeks to demolish any platform of self-justification, knowing that it is an impossible task that leads to death. We see that in verse 2 through 6. Now, the other is unrestrained freedom. And usually, we do both of these at once. A lot of people, they give themselves a lot of license, but then they judge other people. When you judge other people and you hypocritically do the same things yourself, you are not only living according to self-justification, which will weigh you down and lead to death, but you're also living according to a slavery to yourself and to your flesh, which will also lead you to death. It is a 1-2 punch. Once again, the Spirit of the law, which wrote the law, is above the law. And I will say this, that if you live according to the Spirit of law, you don't need a law. I'll give you one more analogy before we jump into these two things and then come in for a landing. Because the Spirit of the law always does what is right and is above the law, it would, just think about driving. You would never need, if everyone lived according to the Spirit, life in the Spirit, you would never need road signs. Because no one would ever speed. Why wouldn't they speed? Because they'd be so concerned about other people. They'd be so wanting to love. They'd be so wanting to care. They'd be so unselfish. They would see that this is a safer way to drive. And they would drive that speed. You would not need this. Look in the garden, Adam and Eve. Why were they able to be naked and unashamed in the garden? Because there was no lust. There was nothing calling them to sin. And so when you looked at something, you didn't covet it. There was no covetous in the garden. So you could leave your things out and no one would ever steal your things because you didn't need to have laws because you lived according to the law. Now, God gave one law. He had to give one law so that we could have free will. He gave that one law. It's a different message. I spoke about it in the very first sermon, which you can find in January online, that talks about that law. Let's move into justification. Self-justification. These are two things, and I want you really to be asking yourself, do I feel free? Do I sleep well at night? Am I constantly burdened? Am I constantly worried? Am I constantly lusting after something? Am I constantly coveting after something? Am I constantly wanting to prove who I am? We talk about self-justification. If you are in a life of self-justification, then it will come with emotions and feelings. It'll come with a lot of guilt because you know that you're not living up. I had two meetings with people today, and I had to stop them when one person said, well, you know, I've had this in my life before. I'm a failure. I said, you're not a failure. I said, do not speak that over yourself. You are a child of God. But they were living in this condemnation. And I said, well, why don't you go ahead and do this thing? And they said, I've been disqualified because of this. I'm no longer qualified to do that. It was basically what they said. And I said, yes, you are. You were qualified by Jesus Christ. He took your shame. He took your fear. He took all these things upon the cross. If you are living according to self-justification or you're worried this week, I have a lot of this week analogies. It was quite a week, wasn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And this week, I got up and I was tense. I knew it was there. And I sat in my quiet time, did my 6 minutes praying for the church. And I did about, I don't know, I did a few minutes. I spent some time with the Lord. And I couldn't shake it. And what I tend to do is I'm more fight than flight. So I'm like, go to work. Just start organizing stuff. Clean the garage, for all I know. I can just go. As long as I clean something, I feel good, okay? Maybe some of you are like that. It's got to go organize a closet, and it's like, oh, the world's better. Nothing changed, but I organized the forks and the towels. And so I was sitting there, and I said to the Holy Spirit, and I've been teaching my Holy Spirit class this, if you didn't get a chance, I've been asking them to resource the Holy Spirit. Ask of the Holy Spirit to do what he said he's going to do. And I thought, I'm not getting up until you fix me. I need to be fixed. I'm not going to work like this, and I need, you know, I'm just going to wait. So I waited. I kind of felt, you know, open the Word of God. I started reading Romans. I just opened the Bible. I just did one of those, like, open it up. And I opened it up, and I think I ended up in Romans or somewhere in the New Testament, and Paul says, if I did this, I would be lost because I would be trying to please man or I'd be afraid of man. He says something like that. And all of a sudden, I realized I was living in this tension between certain people are upset. Okay, it's very hard to live and lead in COVID without, because you have these far massive extremes, right? You have these massive extremes, and you know, and people are tense. And so I was living in this thing of like, oh, I got to please everybody, which is actually impossible. I need to please the Spirit of God. If I live according to the Spirit, I'll live in love and above the law. And the other thing too is, well, if I don't, what might happen? It is such a 1-2 punch. The fear of man. And then also trying to please man. As soon as that revelation and that truth came to me, it washed away. All of a sudden, I felt my spirit go, poof. You will know when all of a sudden you get that truth, you get that wisdom. In James, it says, ask the Spirit for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. You will know when you get it because you will feel a physical change in your body. It actually happens. And we can wait on the Lord. If we wait on the Lord, and God's teaching me, hey, spend a little bit more time. I want to teach you how to battle so you can be more mature. It is not hocus pocus. Unfortunately for me, when I just say, Holy Spirit, fix me, he doesn't immediately always fix me. Sometimes he's like, well, you know, we're gonna work together for a while. We're gonna build this wall together. We're gonna build this hedge of protection together through your prayers or whatever. And so often I just leave the job early. It's like, you know what? Too much work. Let's go for some distraction, you know? Let's just find some great distraction that I can do. And a lot of times those distractions, whether it's too much, you know, media consumption or going to the media to hopefully find a few good stories that you agree with. I don't know if you're a news person, but you kind of search the media or you check your portfolio or you look at what's happening in the market with your house price or, I don't know, you just go look for outside sources to give you piece of your understanding. And this entire last couple months, I've been saying, God, I'm just going to wait for you. And I waited. It took me about an extra 3 minutes. That's all we required. And then all of a sudden, I was good. And I was able to go into work, not bring stress to my staff, not bring stress to my family. It's really great when your wife, Chris, my wife said to me this week, she goes, I said, how am I doing? She goes, you know, I've noticed a massive difference in the last 2 weeks. Like, you're not as much verbal process, you know, what all this stuff. It was really, it's great when you're, you know, happy wife, happy life. I'm telling you what it is. Live according to the Spirit. If you are into self-justification, you're going to have guilt. You're going to have pride. You're going to have shame. So if you experience those type of things, you're going to have anger, self-justification when people, you know, they're not following the rule properly. You know, the secular world understands this as well. God put the law on our hearts and they are seeking justification. Every human being is seeking justification. You will see that in the world. The world, the secular world, even if they say they don't believe in God, will create a religion. They will create a secular religion. This happened in the French Revolution. They created, I think it was called the cult of self-knowledge or something. They actually took the sign off of Notre Dame and turned it into it was called like the cult of self-realization. I think Robespierre did it. And so you can look back at that. I know most people don't know that, but they will create a religion. And actually in France, during the French Revolution, they actually started wearing robes and mimicking the Catholic Church, but without God. It's interesting. It's because God has put this God-shaped, unquenchable hole in our hearts that can only be filled by him. So you'll see the secular you'll see the secular world move into self-justification by living according to the law. There's three laws that I see that the world lives according to. The first is the laws of science. You're seeing that right now. Like, if we understand the laws of science and we obey the laws of science, then I'm justified. If I plant one more tree than you, then I'm, you know, I'm better than you. So, which, and we're about planting trees. We're going to try to plant 100 trees this year. We should care and love creation. There's a series on that this year, too, so you can check that out. But there's these laws of science. And so you'll get a lot of science thrown to you because this is a law. You can follow the law and justify yourself according to the law. The other law is political laws. So whatever that we want to regulate. We want more judges. We want to regulate law because if you don't live according to the Spirit, you have to have a bunch of laws to tell people what to do. If you have a society that is free and open and loving, you actually need less laws. The more laws you have, it shows the less unity you have and the less living by the Spirit. So you will see secular people live according and justify themselves, like it says here, and I'll read this passage in a moment, with circumcision, that they justify themselves according to the law. And then finally, there's a cultural justification. What the populace thinks, and whatever the most people think is a law, we live according to these social laws and cues. What I have found is that the social laws will always trump the other laws. Because science needs to be spoken to, I mean, as human beings that speak science, and you have to trust the scientists that they're being honest and they're not just trying to have an agenda behind the science or some agenda to set laws. So usually, man wins. This is what I've found. That man always wins, and the laws are subject to man. You see that over and over again. So there's these cultural, these are the three laws, and you see our culture right now trying to be justified by these laws. You will see there's a lot of virtue signaling, and Christians do this as well with, you know, I carry a bigger Bible to church, I went to more missions trips. It's just this law that kills you. Here's Paul talking about it. He says, mark my words in verse 2-6. I, Paul, tell you that you not let yourselves be circumcised. Christ will be of no value to you at all. Now, let me stop there and say, Paul doesn't care if you're circumcised, if you're doing it for the right reason. Because he says in the end, here at the end of this passage, circumcision is of no value, whether you do it or whether you don't. He cares if you're being circumcised to justify yourself. That is his concern. If you were a Gentile and said, hey, I want to be circumcised just because to be in alignment with the Jews, just as friendship, and it's a symbol of, hey, I love this covenant, and I just, you know, want to do that. Why you'd want to do that as an adult, I have no idea. But nonetheless, say you just decided as a Gentile you wanted to do that, then Paul would be cool with it. But if you said, I don't think I'm saved unless I do this act that was taken care of, that you were justified by that act, Paul's against it. That's what he's talking about. So he says, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. If you decide to put yourself under the law, then you got to obey it all, every single bit. And we know that you cannot do that. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. See what he says? It's not about that. It's about living according to freedom. Living according to freedom and not doing these things to justify yourself. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Boom. That love. Why do we do these things? Why do we do these things? Paul talks about this in these eating rituals. He says, look, I'm free to eat food by idols. I'm free to wear a mask or not wear a mask. But why would he eat food, he says, if there's somebody who has a conscience issue with the food? He says, I won't eat the food. I'll become all things to all people. Why? I will inconvenience myself so that I might love them. I will eat this food I will not eat this food because I'm living above the law. I'm not putting myself under the law. I don't even think about it. It's like, oh, of course I'll do it because I love you. And if you do it because of love before thinking about the law, then you're living according to the Spirit. You say, I will not eat this food, or I will eat this food, or I will follow this law, or I won't follow this law. I'm going to do it because I love people. I care about people. I want to do those things, you know? And so, this is living according to the Spirit. You will find your life a lot much more filled with peace. You will actually become, you will weaponize the fruits of the Spirit. You will walk in peace and people won't understand why you walk in peace. Now, I haven't been walking in, I've been like most of us, you know, ups and downs. But I did walk into the Valley Farms Market here. Go support them. They're amazing. Great guacamole, fresh made. You can buy it in the little section there. So you get all types of tips here. You get guacamole tips and the Scripture. All things to all people. And a mango salsa, which is great. So I was in there and the gal was like, I think I was singing, I was singing with my mask on. I was singing a Christmas. I was singing a Christmas song, like, you know. Oh, you know. I think it's the Bing Crosby one or whether White Christmas. She goes, really? I said, yeah. She goes, that soon? I said, well, I was just in Costco and they had the Halloween outfits. She goes, you must be in a good mood. You're like one of the happiest people I've seen today. And I was like, really? I didn't even realize. But I was just saying, I'm ready for Christmas. I don't know about you, but nonetheless, you live in a freedom. You will know it. You will feel it if you're living according to justification. If you have doubt, shame, fear, you should not live there because you are judging yourself according to law that you've been set free from. You never need to experience guilt. Holy conviction and godly sorrow, yes. You never need to experience guilt. If you do experience it, it should just be a cue to say, I don't experience guilt. I'm moving away. I don't experience fear. I don't experience, all these other emotions, shame. Because the Holy Spirit wants me to live above those things. The final one, as we come in for a close, unrestrained freedom. And we had these other Christians in Paul's time. They're like, I'm going to do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to grab that gas handle. I'm going to do what I want. Because I am free in Christ. And nothing can separate me from the love of God, like it says in Romans. And basically, these people are living according to the reptilian brain. If you've heard about the reptilian brain, it's this part, I think it's in the back of the brain. I think it's here at the base of your brain, I think is what I was told by my friend who's a psychologist. The reptilian brain is the brain of the flesh. It is the brain that goes out and hoards toilet paper. It is the brain that takes all of the guacamole when there's only three left, so you can have it all to yourself. It is the brain of lust. It is the brain of covetousness. It is the brain of addiction. It is the brain that just needs to be fed. You will feel, and it will work with your body, and you will feel it. You will feel covetousness. You will feel lust. You will feel even thoughts give gratification. One of the reasons we want to control our thoughts is because thoughts will give gratification. St. Ignatius says if you get a lustful thought and you gratify it, he goes, that's sin. If you get a lustful thought and you turn it away, that is not sin. Because when we gratify it, it actually affects our flesh in a positive, and not a positive way, but in a way that we can feel. So Paul says this in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We love it. But you do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Boom. Serve them humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And this command came up as I asked for wisdom this week. The Lord inundated me with this verse everywhere I went. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know who else he inundated me with? All those verses about do what the government tells you to do because they're put there to keep you safe. Though I said, Lord, tell me what to do. How do you want me to do it? How do you want me to do it? How should I do it? Show me. And I literally, the tidal wave of love your neighbor. I was even at a coffee house. I looked up yesterday, love thy neighbor underneath the coffee thing. Everywhere I went, I turned on Daily Audio Bible, love thy neighbor, the laws of the land. Now, there is a certain point, obviously, where they say you can't preach the gospel. We're going to have a different conversation at that point. But at the moment, I'm being inconvenienced in order to love people and to keep people safe. And I can do that. I can definitely do that. And so that's what we want to do. We see Paul say here, love your neighbor. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This is the social media reptilian brain, right? This is the social media reptilian brain. I got it. You'll know it when you send that email and you'll feel it. My old pastor said, Adam, if you ever send an email and you feel really good afterwards, you sent the wrong email. And you will usually pay for it. You're not under the law. We're done here now, closing the sermon, this series. Not under the law. In order to be freedom, you need to live above the law and according to the spirit of the law. Now, let me say this real quickly. The spirit wrote the law. The law is under the spirit. When Paul says, and this is what he means by this in this verse when he finishes it out, that he says, the law, we are no longer, in verse 22, against such things there is no law. That's what he means. The reason there's no law is because the hand that wrote the law is above the law. And so if you live according to the Spirit, you don't need laws. If you live according to the Spirit, you will never break the law, and you don't need laws. And that is why Paul says you're free. You will know it if you're free. Let me just tell you, your body is built to tell you if you're free or if you're not free. You will feel it in your mind, your body, and your spirit. And nothing is more powerful than a church of free people. Because when you're free, they can take nothing from you. When you are free, you are no longer afraid. You are no longer afraid to give your life away to the poor, to care for those. Life in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, then we walk by the Spirit. So concludes the Sparking the Flames of Revival. I encourage you to go back, re-listen to these, implement these into your life so we can have a church full of free people. Free people that don't give to God because there's a law that says you need to give to God, but you give to God as a free will offering. That's what he wants everywhere, anyways. My wife doesn't want me to tell her I love her because there's a law that tells me I have to tell my wife I love her. She wants me to just have this bubbling love that comes out of her. She feels it before I tell her. That is life by the Spirit. It is the life we are going to it as a church. So that is why we want to just do these things to show the world, to show our neighborhood, to show your neighborhood that we love them and we will follow the laws. Why? Because they don't relate to us. We live above the law and we do these things for the right reasons. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and I'm going to bless you and we have communion today. And Joe Brandy actually is going to come up for communion.
Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for that plan of redemption where you would send your Son to step into the world to earn salvation for your people, for your lost children, and bring them back home. We receive by faith that Jesus is that Savior that loved us, that his body was broken and his blood was shed. Thank you that we can meet together, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Lord God, bless these people now as they go out to change the world. Give them covering, Lord Jesus. Let them love like they've never loved before. Let them be free. Wash them free. God, that they no longer are living under according to the law. They'll feel it, Lord. And then let them wait with you and battle with you to build hedges of protection, hedges of love, hedges of glory, restored relationships, asking forgiveness, Lord God, and then just changing the world. So we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, church, if you we appreciate you being here. We'll be back at the Bay tonight. If you can just do your mask protocols really well, it really helps us to keep our services going. We want to do that. So we love you. We'll see you soon.